Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with Gene and Chris, and a fascinating sort of change of pace episode coming up. We'll talk to you about it very soon. Now, in last week's episode of After the Paracast, Chris was talking about solid developments in really doing UFO research, you know, for working with Mark D'Antonio and Mr. Trumbull, the famous special effects expert on their project, and of course the San Luis Valley camera project, all this stuff to actually attempt to record events in progress and get real data, not just someone writing something down, I saw this, I saw that. We've got thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of those, and where have we gone? Speaking of After the Paracast, we've been getting a really good amount of positive comments about After the Paracast. So, Chris, would you tell our listeners, please, how they can hear it, too?
This is a chance for you to get a version of the show that's got a little bit better quality audio. It's higher resolution audio, and it's the network commercials have been taken out. For a modest $5 a month, you can go ahead and get that commercial-free show. Plus, we do a half-hour show at the end of our regular show where we either continue the conversation or get into some areas that we don't normally talk about on the air, for instance. And you can get After the Paracast, like I said, for an extra for $5 a month. Or if you want to go for a year, it's $50. How much is it for 5 years, Gene? $175?
For 5 years, $175, so you're getting the equivalent of 18 months free of charge. And yep, you have been very generous, my friend, because those who subscribe for a year or 5 years, what do they get?
They get a copy of my ebook, Stalking the Tricksters, which goes into a lot of areas that we're going to be covering today with Eric Wargo. So there it is, After the Paracast. We've graduated to the Let Your Hair Down Tell It Like It Is scenario there. And so tune in and sign up.
This is what makes the Paracast different from a lot of other radio shows. I'm not going to rag on anybody because I think some people like Micah Hanks and other people are doing really remarkable work in this field. Micah Hanks is a young whippersnapper, and I always commend him for the work he does on the Grailian Report and everything. So there's a lot of good work out there. But we try to probe areas that we hope will have meaningful results, not repeat the errors of the past. Now, if you want to learn more about getting After the Paracast and the ad-free version of the show, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Just going to ask you to look at the instructions because it takes a couple of steps to make this happen. This is not an easy thing for us to do, and we had to go through a bunch of hoops to make it happen. What's also fascinating is the fact that our discussion forums cover a very, very wide range of subjects that sometimes you don't expect. And we'll get into our guests of the week a little bit of time. Well, of course, the Roswell slide is getting a lot of play, and one of our friends of the show and frequent posters, Red Pill Junkie, is going to be there on May 5th, so we expect to get a report from him. But funny, one of the more active discussions relates to this episode, I think 1989, was it, Chris, where they had this woman reported being abducted by a UFO near the Brooklyn Bridge?
Right, the Linda Cortzeal case, or Linda Napolitano, I think, was the name they used.
That has been for 25 years.
Yep.
A pretty controversial case. Now, I'm looking at the book. Apparently, it's still available, Witness the True Story of the Brooklyn Bridge UFO Abductions. And some people feel that Linda made it all up. Other people say, no, something happened, and we got to figure out what it is. And it gets more complicated because one of the ex-wives of Bud Hopkins when Carol Rainey did a documentary aiming to disprove it. Other people have gone back and said, well, no, the documentary contains lots of incorrect information. One of our regular posters, Sean Mears, who happens to be a close friend of these people, he has done an extensive amount of research into this case. I mean, amazing. He posts on our forums and says, here's 17 references for you to check. And each of those 17 references takes about an hour to read, because that's how complicated this case is. Now, I don't pretend to know what happened there.
Well, I don't know, Gene. The whole thing about Paris de Cuellar, the Secretary General of the UN, inadvertently going by and seeing this, that, I mean, it has some elements to it that are just, I don't know, beyond head scratchers.
For example, this is New York City. Why so few witnesses? Unless, you know, maybe they had something that clouded their minds that the aliens put forth. They're using their power, like the shadow, to cloud your mind so you can't see them. Actually, he said cloud men's minds, but, you know, what about women? They couldn't see him either. You see the point here. There are questions, legitimate questions to ask. I guess the problem has been is that it's so replete with personal attacks, attacking Bud Hopkins' integrity, saying that he's a fool. He was fooled by Linda Cortile or Linda Napolitano, whatever name you wish to use, that she fooled him. And I don't know. I don't think he was anyone's fool. I think he believed that there was a solid basis for this case. It may not be what we perceive it to be. The reality of abductions may be very different from what we expect based on the accounts, but that also takes us to our guest, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But again, that's a very, very popular discussion in our forums right now. The other, of course, is still global warming. I mean, that discussion on global warming, hundreds and hundreds.
Oh, it just never ends.
It's like, all right, already, let's, even if you think that we have very little contribution to be made to global warming, that's mostly natural. Let's open the table here. That's
very,
what you believe.
Very few topics, Gene, on the forum bring out the cats and dogs and global warming. It's a constant source of heated debate, I think would be a kind way of putting it.
But you see, even if you believe that most of it is natural, that we did a tiny bit of it, don't you want to have a better environment? Don't you think we should have less air pollution? How many people die or suffer serious illnesses because of air pollution in different parts of the world? Don't you want a cleaner world? Forget about whether you believe that we're contributing to global warming.
No.
Why not make it more environmentally safe? Is there any harm in that except for a bunch of oil billionaires who feel they can gain something out of it? That's a point. Maybe we'll get into that in After the PowerCast this week. I don't know. Chris, would you tell our listeners about our guest?
You know, I will. And I am really amazed at Eric Wargo's Nightshirt blog. It's really fascinating, some of the subjects that he gets into. He's a science writer from Washington, D.C. He has a Ph.D. in anthropology, and he's worked for all sorts of government organizations, conducting archaeology, psychology, neuroscience research. And he has a really insightful blog called The Nightshirt, all one word, thenightshirt.com. And I was made aware of him on the Paracast thread that people say, hey, you should have certain people on. You know, they suggest guests in this thread. And I remember his name came up. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I was sent a link to an article that he had written about synchronicity and the possibility that we may be looking at this whole subject bass-ackwards. And today we're gonna be introduced to a very, very brilliant thinker. His work goes the width and breadth from sci-fi through all sorts of reality studies, and of course, as an anthropologist, he applies all these things in a very unique way. So we're gonna have fun with Eric today, and hopefully this will be the first of several return visits with him.
The guest is Eric Wargo. Put your conceptions of reality at the front door. Leave him there because they're about to change. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, long time ago, I heard my first Robin Williams comedy presentation on HBO or something. He was doing his nightclub act. And one of the lines he says is, reality, what a concept. And that takes us to Eric Wargo, who is our guest this week. And we're going to take you to a new reality or realities. And it's going to be a fascinating journey. And I'm not pretending I know much about this, except that I have a reality I'd love to change. But, you know, that's about it. Eric, welcome to the Paracast.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Now, let me ask you a really simple, basic, stupid question, and then we'll go on. And that is here. Can we depend on reality being a constant that is predictable, that can be learned, or is it just a mishmash of all sorts of influences?
I'd say the latter. I really don't think that reality is a constant at all, and it very much depends on your point of view. I mean, that's an old idea, you know, it's relativism, basically, but I think it really operates on a very fundamental level. I think, you know, there's this kind of popular notion of, you know, the universe is kind of this glass football that, you know, everything is sort of fixed and if you could just know every particle and position every particle in the universe, you'd know all the outcomes. And I don't think there is such a thing. I don't think there's any one history or any one, you know, reality unfolding. I think it just depends on your point of view.
Well, my point of view is, boy, if you look at the American pubic, as I like to refer to them, there is definitely there's a constant there. I think it's corn-fed, inbred, and brain-dead for the most part. You know, I hate to sound like that, but, boy, there's millions of people walking around in a constant, I'll underline that word, constant state of waking coma. Other than that, it's a pleasure speaking with someone that actually has a head on their shoulders and is able to look at these very mind-warping subjects. Even look at them, number one. And number two, make heads or tails out of it and come up with some real creative thinking. Your Coincidence, Chaos, Archetypes in Our Science Fictional World article just bowled me over. I mean, this is good stuff. And that's why I thought it was real important to introduce you to our very up-to-speed listenership at the Paracast here. And Jeff Davis, one of our posters, is a big fan of yours. He's been following your stuff for years and has mentioned your name to us. And it's really a pleasure to finally get you on the show and talk about some of these mind-warping things that aren't as constant as people might think they are.
Well, thank you. That's great.
Let's kind of dive in here. First of all, why don't you give us a little background on your education? What got you started in, you know, in this particular realm of kind of heady thinking? Give us a little, who is Eric Wargo? Give us a sense of who you are.
Well, okay, I have a PhD in anthropology, but I did not go into academia. I went into science writing after I finished my dissertation. I just didn't want to do the whole academic thing. I'm not really cut out for spending my whole life, my head buried, you know, in one really narrow little, you know, obscure little topic. I kind of want to explore everything and then move on when I'm done. So science writing sort of gave me, it's turned out to be a really good career for me. And so I worked for a psychology organization for a long time and an archaeology organization for a long time. And then now I'm working for the National Institutes of Health as a science writer. So I'm writing about a lot of neuroscience stuff and all that. So that's my day job. But how did I get into all this paranormal, all the stuff that you guys deal with on the Paracast? I guess I've always been interested in UFOs, ESP, whatnot, but sort of it was always in the back of my mind. And then in 2009, I had a couple of UFO experiences, not very minor. You know, they were just balls of light at a distance, you know, nothing like super, you know, earth shattering, but they sort of got me to actually do my due diligence and do some reading about the subject. And that was the first time I really became aware that, oh my God, there's really smart people actually studying this stuff. You know, this isn't just a kooky fringe arena. I mean, it is partly that, but it's not.
Yeah, Jethro's you know, in the trailer parks.
Yeah, right. No, there were some very smart people writing about this stuff. And at that point, you know, Mac Tony's had a blog, but that really inspired me. And I thought, you know, hey, I'm going to start talking about this stuff on my blog and sort of reacting to things I was reading. And so I went down, you know, went down the rabbit hole, and it started out, you know, with the UFO stuff. I mean, I I, you know, read everything I could find. And of course, like a lot of, I'm sure like you guys and like a lot, I know a lot of your listeners, you know, I really gravitated to the work of Jacques Vallée. I mean, he has been a huge, huge inspiration for me in all kinds of ways. And it's sort of in grappling with the ideas that he puts out there that you kind of forces you to start thinking about these other topics that are, that for me were always a little bit more like, I don't know if I want to, yeah, I didn't have trouble, I didn't have trouble with the concept of UFOs. I did have trouble with the concept of ESP and various other paranormal phenomena. And I've never really done much reading about it, but you know, it forced me to get into it. And I have to say that was probably a bigger paradigm shift for me than even, you know, thinking about the UFO subject, because I grew up, my parents were both psychologists, scientifically oriented psychologists, and there's no group of people more skeptical about ESP than mainstream scientific psychologists. And so, you know, just the very concept of.
So both your parents are psychologists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how come you sound so normal? Aren't kids so psychologists totally screwed up?
It's taken me 48 years to get
okay.
Well, maybe you're hiding the real truth here, and you're just putting on this calm demeanor, and all the chaos is happening underneath.
Right. Well, yeah, there could be that. Well, a lot of meditation has helped me become normal, I have to tell you. Yeah. So it's the I think it was originally Jacques Vallée, and of course he kind of. When you read Jacques Vallée, of course, sort of you get introduced to the whole SRI world of remote viewing and that whole thing. And so that's become a real strong interest of mine in the last couple of years, especially. I kind of got sick of writing about UFOs because, you know, I think with everyone, you reach a point where you realize, oh my God, this whole topic is just a quagmire. It's just, you know, it's...
Well, that's why we need to bring it to the next level, and that would be fixed, hard data monitoring arrays, triangulated cameras, magnetometers, gravitometers, do it right, a scientific organization can do it. With the technology now being so affordable and the ability over the internet with very short latency times to actually... You know, have detect on motion, record on motion capabilities. This is where I think the real nuts and bolts ufology is going.
Yes, where is nuts and bolts ufology going? We have Eric Wargo. We're tearing apart our concept of reality and trying to figure out how to take things to the next level with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
As a parent, one of my greatest concerns is for the safety and well-being of my family. But no matter how concerned I am, it doesn't take the place of taking action and preparing for the unknown. I plan by having a GoFood savings account where I allocate a little money each month to have health store quality food delivered to my door at budget store prices. Although GoFoods are storable for 25 years, they are family mealtime favorites even today. My family asking to eat the food that we are storing lets me know that when we only have the food we stored to live on, that we won't have the added stress of eating unfamiliar or undesirable food. Buying GoFoods is investing in the future of my family. Convenient packages allow me to buy according to my budget, and I get free shipping on my monthly orders. To set up your GoFood savings account, call 800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 800-648-9753.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let me tell you right now, if you're expecting a normal run of ghosts and Bigfoot and UFOs, turn the dial to another station. Do people do that anymore? Turn the dial to another station. I think you just push a button.
Just dated yourself.
Well, listen, I was building two radios when I was a kid and crystal radios when I was a kid. Yeah. So, yeah, you can date me, but not in reality. Anyway, Eric Wargo is here with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. And Chris was framing a question.
I think nuts and bolts ufology, we need to separate this out into categories. I think someone like a Jacques Vallée, who's proposing a global effort to try to create, you know, the ultimate database. Mm-hmm. I mean, in writing books with Chris Aubeck about sightings that were fairly well documented prior to the 1880s, you know, I think this is all well and good, but if we really want to make progress, we need to come up with some hard data that can withstand the rigors of science and is unequivocal and unassailable. This is where nuts and bolts ufology should be headed, and hopefully with Douglas Trumbull and UFOTOG and my San Luis Valley project and other projects I'm sure that are out there, I think this is where we're going to be taking it forward. But with someone like you, Eric, you kind of looking at chinks in the armor of reality and our you know, the way that we are able to sort of miss out forest for the trees, certain elements that are mentioned in the books and in the literature, things like synchronicity, for instance, things like precognition, as you mentioned, ESP, remote viewing. These are the types of things that I think are potential windows and doorways that open up a wonderful vista of possibility. And that's kind of where your blog really, I think, is important for people and why I'm highly recommending it. It's going to take me a while to get caught up. on some of your writing. But if it's like your last several pieces, boy, I'm going to have some fun with it. Why don't you give us a sense of where your thinking has not only developed with Vallée, but some of the other influences that you've had in, let's maybe start in the UFO realm, but then branch off. Have you read much of John Keel's work, for instance?
I've read a little bit of it, yeah. I've read a couple of his books. He's great. Honestly, I have only, I think, a limited ability to read stories about, you know, a lot of this literature is just endless stories, endless, you know, fascinating encounter stories, whatever. In the end, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, I'm a believer. You know, this is real. I want to understand what it could be. You know, I really want to get at, you know, what's the reality underlying this? And I don't trust most encounter stories. I mean, I think that, you know, something is happening to or in the mind of the experiencer. It's distorting the reality of what's going on. I'm not at all saying that it's only in their heads, but it's something is affecting their heads.
Yeah, and that's constantly what we're dealing with in the abduction phenomenon, we're constantly talking about. Well, where do you come down on that? I mean, what kind of operative mechanism do you think is at play? Is there something truly external that is influencing some sort of inner mental process or emotional process?
Yeah, I'm very reluctant to even talk about the abduction phenomenon because it's something I don't know a lot about. I haven't read a lot of literature. It's something. It's sort of the corner of the little corner of ufology that I kind of set aside because it seems a little embarrassing, a little troublesome. Not sure how to deal with it. And frankly, some of the people, the big names who talked about abduction, I don't buy their methods and their assumptions. And so it just seems problematic to me. And so I can't say, that's all to say that I'm not an expert in abduction. And so I don't want to give my opinion of what's going on. On my blog, I have tossed out some ideas. And this is, I'm not the only one to have this idea, but I think, you know, the idea of transcranial magnetic stimulation. This is a method that's now used in hospitals and laboratories to actually create mental effects, which happen to be very often very similar to the kinds of effects you see in abduction cases. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that in the presence of a powerful electromagnetic field, like what are supposed to exist with a lot of UFOs, which disrupt car engines and airplane electronics, it seems very reasonable that they could do the same thing to the human cortex and produce all the kind of classic effects familiar from the abduction literature. Is that the explanation? The explanation, I don't know, but I think that certainly could be part of the story. I also have to say that I don't think that the UFO phenomenon is one thing. I think that there are multiple things going on that may have little to do with each other that have kind of gotten lumped together. So I don't know that there's any one answer to these things.
Okay, so we're lumping together a number of different things, and certainly you appear to have done that when you separate out the abduction scenario from the rest.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we put together in one bucket that maybe should be in separate buckets?
Well, another bucket that I'm not very happy with is, of course, the Roswell thing, and I know you guys are either. I mean, I don't even read the stories anymore about the Roswell slides. I'm just sort of,
I tell you, man, I break out in hives.
Yeah.
I've been to Roswell, and it's like a virus. It's reaching out over the countryside. The closer you get to Roswell, New Mexico, the more alien images you encounter. And by the time you're 50 miles, 40 miles away, everything is aliens. And when you get into Roswell, even the country and Western clothing stores have alien mannequins. I break out in hives in places I don't know where to put calamine lotion.
You know, I'm going to find really enjoyment in how you react next week because we're apparently going to have Red Pill Junkie here.
Oh.
And he's our favorite cutting-edge thinker from Mexico. And he's going to attend the Roswell Slides event in Mexico City on May 5th.
Oh, Miguel's going to have he's going to have so much fun.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun to see what happens, but oh my God.
Or what doesn't happen.
Or what doesn't happen, right. Right.
No. God. Better him than me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I think that whole, the whole notion of crash saucers and all the ideas that spin off from that, like, you know, re-engineering, you know, alien technology, all that stuff. I mean, that, I just don't, you know, that is, sort of off my radar pretty much completely. I don't, however, completely discount the ETH, the extraterrestrial hypothesis. As long as you revise it, and this I've written about a lot on my blog too, I think that, you know, the whole, when people, when you say UFOs, people in their minds, immediately there's this image of a little flying saucer with a, you know, a little gray man behind the wheel, like, you know, this, this very, you know, 1950s image. And unfortunately, the public still thinks that way, and you can't blame them. They don't, they haven't been educated that there are more sophisticated ideas out there. But I do think that the, that there are other models of a kind of modified ETH. And this is something I have written about on my blog a lot. I think that, that it is very reasonable, not from UFO. You don't even have to look at the UFO data. You don't even have to look at the UFO phenomena. Just looking at all the models of interstellar colonization and expansion, proposed, you know, in order to sort of investigate the, you know, the Fermi paradox and all that, or the actually the models that the Fermi paradox is based on, you know, the, which all point to the idea that our galaxy should be completely inhabited, colonized, whatever you want to call it by now. You know, or we're alone. That's, you know, somehow the dichotomy that we're presented with. I think these are very unrealistic because they assume that the trajectory of a technological society is going to be expansion, physical expansion into, you know, into the universe, you know, via colonization or whatever.
We have Eric Wargo with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention, do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've helped thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
The IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account. You need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you.
But
Attention taxpayers. If you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris is descending into his trickster voice. It's going to come full blown as we go on. Eric Wargo is our guest. He's a science writer, PhD in anthropology, and he's telling us a lot of things that maybe you didn't want to hear. Okay, so we're looking at the extremes here you were mentioning, Eric, that one, the galaxy is plentiful with life, where we're all alone.
Well, should be.
Should be. Now, or we're all alone, which seems another extreme in the other direction. So where is the Goldilocks point here?
I think what I was starting to say before the break was that the trajectory of a technological civilization is not going to be towards expansion into the universe. It's going to, because alongside space flight capability is going to come all the other technological advances that we associate with the singularity. And I'm not a big singularity believer either, but some version of the singularity is going to happen slowly over the next century or so, which is going to involve one, massive extension of the lifespan and massive advances in computing and robotics. Now, what this is going to mean is that our future in space is actually going to, I think, probably stop with colonization of the solar system. I don't think we're going to physically, in our human bodies, extend beyond the solar system. You know, hopefully we'll extend off the Earth. I would like to see that, and I think a lot of people assume that that will happen. But by the time, you know, by a couple of centuries from now, we're going to be exploring the universe completely via remote probes, remote drones, self-replicating. And all the models show that if you send out self-replicating drones and they go to all the nearest star systems and then there they reproduce and go to the nearest star systems, they will expand, you know, exponentially. And you could quickly, you know, in the space of a couple, you know, 100,000 years or whatever, fill the galaxy with self-replicating, autonomous, artificially intelligent, science platforms, basically, to conduct surveillance, to conduct science, and to basically, and also just keep an eye on things for security purposes. I mean, for just your long-term security as a species, you want to know what's going on everywhere. So you're going to put your CCTV cameras basically on every planet, not just the ones that have, you know, you know, intelligent civilizations like us, you're going to put your monitoring on planets that have just algae because you don't know what's going to happen over the next few million years. So you want to stick around and watch. So I think that it's a very realistic assumption that our planet is being monitored by very advanced technology that would be, you know, we might not even know it was here. And that it could be very ancient, and it could be have been here, you know, since before we were even tree shrews, you know.
that's what people say, oh, you're into UFOs, you believe in aliens. And I say, wait a minute, how do you know we're not the aliens? And whatever people are calling aliens isn't more terrestrial than we are. It's like there's so many knee-jerk assumptions out there that drive me up the wall.
Sure. And part of what I'm proposing is also, you know, the idea of interstellar colonization is kind of implicit in the Fermi paradox because, you know, Fermi said, you know, where are they? And you know, that implied, well, they should be here. Extraterrestrial beings should be here already. They should be here visiting. They should be whatever.
Gathering plant soil samples.
Gathering samples. Right. I mean,
how many reports have you seen where the aliens are walking around outside their craft, looking at plants and looking at things on, you know, in our environment, like they've never seen them before.
Right.
It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Right. You could throw something in orbit the size of a beer can.
Right.
That could probably have, even with our technology, have the capability of gathering immense amounts of data without ever having to, you know, to land or, you know, to interact with, you know, picking daisies and looking at rocks like you've never seen one before. It just doesn't make sense, that whole scenario.
Well, I agree with that, but consider this. I think, and as an anthropologist, I'm coming at this a little differently, I think, than most people. I think that if you're actually going to do science on an emerging civilization or a planet, you don't just observe. I mean, science is experimentation.
Yeah.
And it's experimentation, you know, experimentation to create reliable findings. You need to do experiments with vast samples. You need to repeat those experiments again and again, and then you need to vary the experiments to test different hypotheses. And I think that when you consider that, and you consider that in order to actually provide, to create a realistic, very reliable, powerful ability to predict and control our behavior, should you want to do that ever, you would need to conduct pretty much the same kind of thing that you see on psych labs on campuses all the time, which is recruiting like sort of naive participants, putting them through some bizarre oddball situation and seeing how they react and doing it again to another group of participants. And then
to create a database.
And to do this, and I think it's, if you had just a long-term project of knowing all that is knowable, these machines could be generating these psych experiments endlessly. And it kind of, when you start thinking those terms, it kind of starts to look a lot like the control system that Jacques Vallée proposed. Even though he put out that theory kind of to counter the ETH, but I think that there's a version of the ETH, an automated ETH, that's doing science, endless science, on our species.
It conforms to that.
Right. It conforms very closely.
That's a very interesting kind of backdoor approach, analytical approach. I absolutely see the relevance of that particular line of thinking, and it could very well be similar to scientists in the natural world who are going out and tagging bears and tagging animals and monitoring behavior, you know, unbeknownst to the animal, and for the most part. I think some people do kind of equate the abduction phenomenon into that particular possible scenario where you've got your, you know, pretty much your knee-jerk David Jacobs, Bob Hopkins ideas of hybridization, of possibly fortifying the genetics of a dying race. I mean, you hear that one all the time, which sounds great in theory, and it's kind of a cool sci-fi concept, but
sure.
I don't understand how their genetics could possibly have any sort of possibility of utilizing our genetics. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the likelihood is that's kind of a long shot. But getting back to your idea of spreading out technology out into the universe and having self-replicating machines actually doing the heavy lifting out there, as opposed to sending flesh and blood humans out to do this from these vast distances. How would you monitor something like that? Would you program it to be totally autonomous, or would you try to have it be as interactive as possible? Or how do you envision that?
Well, it depends on whether light speed is really how much that continues to be a limitation. You know, there's so much argument about whether light speed is an absolute speed limit or not. I think if my assumption, I just go ahead and assume that it is going to be continue to be an absolute limitation in the universe. It seems it makes so much sense that it is to me, but that's just me. In that case, then these probes are completely autonomous. They're artificially intelligent, and they. You know, they collect the data, they analyze the data, they're completely autonomous, and they, you know, periodically send their reports back to the home world, or whatever. You know, maybe they interact with each other as a vast galaxy-wide neural net. I don't know, but they're autonomous.
Well, how about quantum entanglement? Do you think that there's the possibility of creating some sort of instantaneous, sort of quantum spooky action at a distance, I think Einstein referred to it, where light particles, for instance, respond immediately, instantaneously, much faster than the speed of light. Do you think we could possibly utilize some sort of quantum entangled communication device or something?
You know, I'm not a quantum physicist. I mean, I love those ideas, and yeah, maybe. You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And if that's the case, then that makes it even more interesting the way a civilization might interact with the universe via its technology. Its technology would become essentially extensions of itself. It would be right. Like, you know, I really picture, you know, us with our little iPhone controlled drones, hovering over, you know, animals in the neighbor's backyard. And
delivering Amazon products.
Delivering Amazon products. Well,
but, you know, it's going to change now because they'll be using an Apple Watch instead to make those deliveries. Hey, yeah. Folks, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com to check out After the Paracast, plus.theparacast.com. As you see, we're not doing the conventional this week on the show. That's the credit to Eric Wargo. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.